Good morning to all of you out there. It's a beautiful day in Wisconsin, and I hope it's the same where you are living and located. The sun's shining so bright, and those small, tiny leaves on the trees, yes, they're growing so fast. Did you have a nice Mother's Day weekend? Well, I guess all of us can conclude that this one was different. Everything's different, isn't it? Not many family reunions, I'm sure, because most of us were housebound. But that's okay, for when things get back to normal, hopefully we'll be more grateful in our hearts for all of the blessings. And especially, we'll honor the Lord more in our lives. Well, since the children are homebound for the summer, I usually have a segment where I can challenge the parents to think about teaching the children and making time to be with them and teach God's Word. What about including that in your daily schedule? I've heard many parents testify that they had made a regular schedule so the children could have their time for class and learning and then other schedules during the day. So let's call it Time Out for the Lord. How about that? Just include that in your schedule. Surely you can give your children some special time during the day to honor the Lord and to teach them the principles of God's Word. So why don't you stay tuned and allow me to share with you today the story of two mothers who were faithful to teach their son and their grandson. So my topic today I call, Who Made a Difference? Well, I'll tell you, two wonderful mothers. There's no greater joy than to see your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren walking with the Lord. So, as I said, I want to visit regarding two women who made a difference in their family. It was grandmother and mother of Timothy. You see, Timothy was well known as a pastor of the Church of Ephesus. He had a great Christian heritage from his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. The Apostle Paul and Dr. Luke mentored Timothy when he traveled with him, and they have given us a wonderful insight into Timothy's early life. So the question today is, what can I learn from these two women on how to make an eternal difference in a child's life? There are three passages of Scripture that mention Timothy's Christian upbringing over in 2 Timothy and Acts chapter 16. Did you know that Paul's second letter to Timothy is his last known letter, which was written about 66 A.D. from a Roman prison? You see, Nero had burned the city of Rome in 64 A.D., but he blamed the Christians for starting the fire. Paul was the most well-known leader of Christianity back then, and so Nero arrested Paul, and he was facing a big trial. It was King Nero who threw believers in Jesus to the lions in Rome as a sporting event. We visited the Colosseum twice and stood there as we visualized Christians being thrown to the claws and the jaws of those lions. He also enjoyed burning Christians on poles in order to light his gardens at night. They dipped them in oil and then candle wax. Ouch. Doesn't that give you goose pimples? It was a terrible, troublesome time to be living, especially if you loved Jesus. Paul's second letter to Timothy was meant, really, to encourage and build up this discouraged disciple who was pastoring the church at Ephesus. He told Timothy to stir up his heart, not to be ashamed of the gospel, but to keep the pattern of sound teaching, to guard the good gospel that was entrusted to him. And last but not least, to come to see him in prison. Timothy was probably around 35 years of age at this time because he had been pastor of the church at Ephesus for a total of 8 years. Paul begins his second letter to encourage Timothy. He reminds him of his Christian heritage. Here's what he says. Let me read from the King James. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remembered you in my prayers. And in recalling your tears, which was probably the last time they met and said goodbye, I so long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I am so persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan that flame, the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. For God didn't give you a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. You see, here Paul is saying that he's persuaded that Timothy has a sincere faith. That word persuaded is said in such a way that Paul is actually saying, I am convinced that you have a genuine faith in Christ. Of course, this faith came through the Lord, but also through his grandmother and his mother. So the challenge today is, are your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren being taught the scriptures? And since you have had the extra time to do so as a result of the coronavirus, let me challenge you today to go for it. Timothy's grandmother and mother were Jewish, but Timothy's father was a Greek. Paul always headed for the synagogue when he entered any town, so no doubt he met Timothy and his grandmother and mother in the synagogue. You see, the Jewish people studied the Old Testament, and if they really learned and studied, they would find over 300 verses that refer in the Old Testament to the coming Messiah, Jesus. Many people refused to believe, but not this family. Second Timothy chapter 3 tells us that Timothy was taught the scriptures, that is, in the Old Testament, as an infant. If Timothy was taught from infancy, then this puts Lois and Eunice, or maybe both, or at least one of them, as believers around 35 A.D. And guess what? That would be shortly after Jesus died. Timothy's mother married a Greek, not a Jew. Dr. Luke sharply contrasts Timothy's father with his mother, implying that Timothy's father was not a believer. So that probably means his mother was not a believer when she married, because marriages, mixed marriages, were frowned by her Jewish community. You can see that her mother loved her very much, because even so they remained and stayed together. Paul said that Timothy's faith first dwelt in his grandmother, Lois. This gives us a clue of how important it is to have grandparents. Are you listening out there, grandparents? It's so important that you take an interest in the lives of your grandchildren. Sometimes this can be difficult, especially when the parents are not believers and they do not want their children taught anything about religion. In any event, we know that grandmother was a strong influence in her daughter accepting Christ, even though her husband apparently didn't. This could have been a very difficult time for Timothy. The scripture tells us that he was not circumcised, so we can see the father's influence here. Just maybe he tolerated his Eunice's and Lois's teaching of young Timothy, and maybe he didn't. Who knows? We won't know till we get to heaven. No doubt there were difficult moments in raising Timothy. Mother wanted to train him for the Lord. Father may have tried to persuade him to leave all this religious training alone. After all, it is not uncommon in our day where one parent is a Christian, the other isn't, or where the parents are not interested in any religion at all. How tragic that the children miss out on all those blessings all through their young years. No wonder we have so many young people who are on drugs and alcohol, and they can't seem to find their niche in life. So the question of the day is, are you, am I, making a difference in the lives of our children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren? If we want them to have genuine faith, then we need to model it. We need to teach them biblical standards of behavior and having the right attitudes. Yes, we need to be faithful, to stand up for our own faith, and teach them how they can stand up for theirs. If we call Jesus our Lord, then we must be consistent in reading God's word for ourselves and growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. We also must be consistent in our prayer life and in being faithful to take our children to church. I guess it all boils down to, if you want to know how genuine your faith is, just ask your kids. If we're not genuine, there's a good chance that they won't be either. Genuine and consistent faith comes out of growing desire to live by the Scriptures. So in closing, here is what Paul said to Timothy. Continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are, by the way, able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3:14. Many families are homebound right now, and I've heard you even say you're searching for something to do. You're bored to tears. If you're not already doing this that I've been talking about, let me admonish you to begin teaching God's Word or the Bible a few verses at a time and encourage your children to learn to pray. And by the way, as soon as they can speak. I truly believe that the Lord would have us accept this awful virus as a wake-up call to bring us back on our knees before a holy God. Could it be that the Lord is saying to each of us, remember me, I am the Lord, I love you. Let's love him back and teach our children to do the same. It's been good to be with you. Bye-bye.